It was a full house of supporters for the school district and Petersburg Mental Health Services early Friday morning at the Borough Assembly chambers. The meeting started late as Borough Assembly members waited for a four-person quorum needed to gavel in the special session. Mayor Mark Jensen and Assembly members John Haverlick, Jay Stanton Greger, and Cindy Logadakis were the only ones attending. The other three members were excused. And the meeting was almost over before it got started, as Jensen called for a motion to reduce either line item.
So I will entertain a motion at this time to talk about the borough contribution for Petersburg Mental Health. Do I hear a motion for that? Okay, so it looks like, would anybody like to comment on that from the public? We'll give the public comment period 20 minutes since we have an hour. Anybody like to comment on it? It looks like with no motion or no second, like I said earlier, it just gets proposed like it
as
was
is.
Put to the assembly in the budget as is. So
it was the same for the school funding, no motion, and they almost adjourned with nobody saying anything. However, school board president Jean Ellis wanted to testify against any budget cuts since she was there.
I'm very upset that you are considering reducing the borough's share of the school district funding by 17%. Seems that the more frugal and financially conscientious we are, the more someone thinks they need the money more than we do.
The borough's annual payment to the school district has been $1.8 million for the past 8 years. And for years, the borough has used a federal payment called Secure Rural Schools to make up one-third of that local appropriation. The federal payment to counties with national forest land like Petersburg ended last year without a renewal by Congress. And the state is looking at cutting payments to municipalities as well. Borough Manager Steve Giesbrecht noted the loss of revenue and thought the community needed to have the discussion.
Our rolling total right now is about $1.2 million the borough is going to get less from state and federal sources with this upcoming budget year. Okay.
Right.
I know the school's going to be facing that from their own hit from the state funding. Whereas a community, we're not going to get very far fighting with each other. We're going to have to get together and how do we make this work where we're not having to talk about shutting the aquatic center down or so on.
Others agreed that the borough and school district should get the dialogue going about making up that lost money. Former school board member Jim Schwartz was among them.
I would like to see out of this a commitment by the board, by the council to simply schedule a meeting sooner rather than later, because this will be because we have to do it right. We have to get it right. We can't afford that Secure Rural Schools is going away. I mean, we said that before, and it's through magical political processes it kept going, but we can't figure that.
There's a little breathing room for the borough since elected officials saved up some of the Secure Rural Schools money, just under $4 million by last year, in fact. However, using up $600,000 a year for that school payment, the borough's current plan wipes out the savings in about 6 years. Assemblymember John Haverlick, who called for Friday's meeting, also wanted a plan to make up the lost money.
Everything in the budget's a sacred cow. There isn't anything we're going to bring up that isn't going to upset somebody. And I think we do have to, as Mark and Steve were talking about, start being very proactive and planning for the future rather than just saying, and I don't even know if we're going to say this, well, we need this amount of money, so let's raise taxes.
School staff, parents, and community members didn't want to see cuts in the appropriation. Teacher Ginger Evans said the district has already been frugal.
With our own budget, when you talk about being fiscally responsible, we have done that as a district. We have cut. We have not hired back when teachers have retired. We have taken on different hats and roles that might have stretched us in what we were trained to do as a teacher, but we look at it and say, this is what's best for kids. And we wake up every morning, we put a smile on our face, and we go in our classrooms to work with every single kid.
And Assemblymember Cindy Logadakis said she had had a chance to talk with staff in both the schools and at Petersburg Mental Health Services.
I appreciate that we had this discussion because I learned some things that I didn't know about both. And I was reminded that the two work together, particularly with suicide prevention. And I thank you very much for your time and your effort and all the information that you've shared. I think the public needs to know more about what you do. And I feel like I'm much better informed. And I was impressed with both I'm even more impressed now, and I think you work very hard to have efficiencies and you provide a very good service to the public.
For his part, Haverlick defended his call to consider cuts. He directed some of his remarks at Interim Superintendent Erica Clute-Painter, who took over from Lisa Stroh in January. That was after Stroh resigned and was given 6 months' pay through the end of the school year.
You know, the only reason I do bring these things up is because I think, as a member of the Assembly, I do think we should question different fiscal policies. And I know people are really upset with what had occurred, and that would pay someone not to come here. Yeah. But the best thing about it is you're in the position, so I thank you.
Haverlick encouraged Clute-Painter to apply for the superintendent's job on a permanent basis. There was little discussion about the mental health services cuts, although staffers said they'd be back before the Assembly in March if the budget cutting issue came up again. At the Assembly's February 2nd meeting, Haverlick, Stanton Greger, Bob Lynn, and Kurt Wallhuter were the ones voting in favor of having the meeting Friday. After the meeting, Haverlick said he didn't think he'd have a second for a motion to cut either of the line items, so he didn't make the motion. The issue can still come up again. It takes three readings of an ordinance to approve the overall borough spending plan, and Assembly members can still make changes to any of the budget during that process. That starts up next month. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.